Behind a Mask by Louisa May Alcott, narrated by Michael Ward. Chapter 1. Jean Muir.
Has she come?
No, Mama, not yet.
I wish it were well over. The thought of it worries and excites me. A cushion for my back, Bella.
And poor, peevish Mrs. Coventry sank into an easy chair with a nervous sigh and the air of a martyr, while her pretty daughter hovered about her with affectionate solicitude.
"Who are they talking of, Lucia?"
asked the languid young man, lounging on a couch near his cousin, who bent over her tapestry work with a happy smile on her usually haughty face.
"The new governess, Miss Muir. Shall I tell you about her?"
"No, thank you. I have an inveterate aversion to the whole tribe. I've often thanked heaven that I had but one sister, and she a spoiled child, so that I have escaped the infliction of a governess so long."
"How will you bear it now?" asked Lucia.
"Leave the house while she is in it."
"No, you won't. You're too lazy, Gerald," called out a younger, a more energetic man from the recess, where he stood teasing his dogs.
"I'll give her a 3 days' trial. If she proves endurable, I shall not disturb myself. If, as I am sure, she is a bore, I'm off anywhere out of her way."
"I beg you won't talk in that depressing manner, boys. I dread the coming of a stranger more than you possibly can, but Bella must not be neglected, so I have nerved myself to endure this woman, and Lucia is good enough to say she will attend to her after tonight."
"Don't be troubled, Mama. She's a nice person, I dare say, and when once we are used to her, I've no doubt we shall be glad to have her. It's so dull here just now. Lady Sydney said she was a quiet, accomplished, amiable girl who needed a home and would be a help to poor, stupid me, so try to like her for my sake."
"I will, dear, but isn't it getting late? I do hope nothing has happened. Did you tell them to send a carriage to the station for her, Gerald?"
"I forgot it, but it's not far. It won't hurt her to walk," was the languid reply.
"It was indolence, not forgetfulness, I know. I'm very sorry. She will think it so rude to leave her to find her way so late. Do go and see to it, Ned."
"Too late, Bella. The train was in some time ago. Give your orders to me next time. Mother and I'll see that they are obeyed," said Edward. "Ned is just at an age to make a fool of himself for any girl who comes his way. Have a care of the governess, Lucia, or she will bewitch him."
Gerald spoke in a satirical whisper, but his brother heard him and answered with a good-humoured laugh.
"I wish there was any hope of your making a fool of yourself in that way, old fellow. Set me a good example, and I promise to follow it. As for the governess, she is a woman, and should be treated with common civility. I should say a little extra kindness wouldn't be amiss either, because she is poor and a stranger."
"That is my dear good-hearted Ned. We'll stand by poor little Muir, won't we?"
And running to her brother, Bella stood on tiptoe to offer him a kiss, which he could not refuse, for the rosy lips were pursed up invitingly, and the bright eyes full of sisterly affection.
"I do hope she has come, for when I make an effort to see anyone, I hate to make it in vain. Punctuality is such a virtue, and I know this woman hasn't got it, for she promised to be here at 7, and now it's long after," began Mrs. Coventry in an injured tone.
Before she could get breath for another complaint, the clock struck 7 and the doorbell rang.
"There she is," cried Bella,
and turned toward the door as if to go and meet the newcomer. But Lucia arrested her, saying authoritatively,
"Stay here, child. It is her place to come to you, not yours to go to her."
"Miss Muir," announced the servant, and a little black-robed figure stood in the doorway. For an instant no one stirred, and the governess had time to see and be seen before a word was uttered. All looked at her, and she cast on the household group a keen glance that impressed them curiously. Then her eyes fell, and bowing slightly, she walked
Sample complete. Ready to continue?